والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها. صلوات. The subject of our speeches in these nights was certain less told aspects of the Day of Judgment, and we have already discussed some of those aspects in the previous speeches. Although the concept of Day of Judgment requires from us to cover so many other aspects as well, which we may talk about inshallah sometime later if God permits. But this is a concept of Islam which has to be crystal clear in our minds, so that we can be able to become sa'id and sa'adatmand and successful in the Islamic sense in this life and the hereafter. And someone who denies the Day of Judgment is also considered to be a kafir in Islam, because denial of Day of Judgment equals to the denial of Quran and the denial of the Holy Prophet and that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no one has the right to deny it. And this is one of those fundamental Islamic concepts that is not just Islamic. What I mean by the word Islamic is that not just proven by Islamic texts and Islamic text, you know, scripture, but it is also by narrative evidences, but also a concept which can be proven by intellectual and logical evidences. Because some of the Islamic concepts are proven by narrative evidences only, whereas a lot of Islamic concepts are such that they can be proven by narrative plus logical evidences both. So this is one of those fundamental concepts of Islam, which is able to be proven by logical evidences. So there is no margin for anybody to deny the legitimacy of this concept, otherwise he is one of those who is called to be a kafir. And the aspect of this Day of Judgment that we would like to talk about tonight is about the shuhud or ashhad that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has arranged towards all of the humans and jinns in this life. All the witnesses that Allah has arranged in the life of this dunya over the humans and the jinns, and those witnesses which shall bear witness against us on the Day of Judgment, which is another less talked about aspect of the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned countless evidences, so many evidences and so many witnesses over all the humans and jinns. Certainly we cannot talk about all of them in 40-50 minutes each, but I would like to focus on some of those very important ones. The first is the earth itself. Remember the verse of Holy Quran that I recited in the beginning from Surah Al-Zilzal, where Allah says that يَوْمَ إِذٍ إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. And after moving forward, Allah says that يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. The Day of Judgment, that's the time when the earth, in other words, is going to inform you about its news. تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. What are the news of the earth that the earth is going to inform on the Day of Judgment about its news? And we have hadith from the Holy Prophet that he asked from his companions, do you guys know what are the news of earth? What the earth is going to tell? And they said, the companion said, well, Ya Rasulullah, you are more knowledgeable. We don't know. And Prophet replied that the earth is going to bear witness against every man and woman that used to be on its surface. In other words, every man and woman, all what they have done over earth, good or bad. So we understand from this tafsir of the Holy Prophet regarding this famous verse that we frequently recite in Surah Al-Zilzal, that the earth is a witness over all the actions of the humans. In fact, we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam has commanded us as you would like to, you know, when you go to the mosque, pray at different locations in the mosque. This is one of the instructions of Imam Ali alayhi salam to all of us. There are some people who, when they go to the mosque, they always stand on one specific place or sit on one specific place. And there are even some people who feel bad if somebody else take their place, which should not happen, because of course whosoever comes first can sit wherever he wants to sit. And we are not supposed to, you know, obstruct others. If there are others sitting in the front, I cross all the saf, and I am supposed to always go in the front saf, whether there is a place remaining or not remaining, this, you know, still I have to jump over all the people and go to the first class? No. If I want to go in the first class, I should also come ahead of time so that I do not bother others. And never feel bad if somebody else is sitting in the front. Fine, he came earlier. And besides, Imam Ali has been commanding us to pray on different spots inside the mosque. Why? Because the earth is going to, those different spots are going to bear witness in our favor on the day of judgment that this such and such person has prayed over us. So we understand how important this assigned witness of God is that we call earth. It would be silly for some person to think the earth is a dead creature of God. Nothing is like that. Even those creatures that do not have a soul that we call Zawatul Arwah and Ghairu Zawatul Arwah, there are certain creatures who have souls and there are certain others who do not have souls. Well, those who do not have souls, there are different sets of responsibilities. But they have a different sort of feelings and different sorts of senses. Not comparable to the human senses or to the senses of those existences that have souls. That is obvious, it's uncomparable, but they have a level of understanding. That's why they would bear witness. They can understand what is good and what is bad, what is obedience and what is disobedience of God. So we find Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, whenever he we find in the middle of the night, sometimes in the night time when our fourth Imam used to go out and pray beneath different palm trees, date trees, instead of praying under one tree all the night, praying under different palm trees. Two rakats here, two rakats there, two rakats there, two rakats there. And one of his companions came and asked the same question, why are you praying? Why don't you pray under one tree? He said, I would like every palm tree to bear witness on the day of judgment in my favor that Ali ibn al-Husayn has prayed under me. We have several witnesses in our favor before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, Allah doesn't need no witness. He doesn't need. It's the mercy of Allah. It's the mercy of Allah to provide so many witnesses for our satisfaction. Otherwise, he would have said, well, I know it, and I know in advance whether you would be tomorrow a good doer or a bad doer, a mu'min or a kafir, and I can straight away punish you without giving you a chance. But no, that's not the case. You know, when we find that Abu Musa Ash'ari La'natullahi alayh, that crooked Qazi in the lifetime of Imam Ali alayhi salam, who was being sent by Imam Ali at the occasion of Hakamain, Qadiyatul Hakamain. You know, after, at the end of the Battle of Safan, when they were, Khawarij from Imam Ali's side revolted against Imam Ali, and after Umar ibn al-As raised the Qur'ans on the Neza, on the spears, and Khawarij was stupid enough to ask Imam Ali to stop the battle. We cannot fight against Qur'an. And Imam Ali was trying to make them understand that they don't belong to the people of Qur'an. They are just trying to fool you by raising Qur'an. They have nothing to do with Quran. But throughout centuries, the biggest problem we had faced is simple-mindedness and lack of basirat and ma'rifat and in-depth recognition of Islam. So, Khawarij revolted against Imam Ali, and then what was settled is that there would be two judges coming from, both of the sides, two different sides, and one judge was Amr ibn al-As, appointed by Muawiyah's camp, and one that was accepted by the people was Abu Musa Ash'ari from Imam Ali's camp. And as he was sent by Imam Ali, Imam Ali instructed him that you need to do the judgment according to the you know, the book of God. But as he left, Imam Ali said, كَأَنِّي بِهِ وَقَدْ خُدِعَ. As if I am seeing him that he has got deceived. As he went away, Imam Ali said this remark, in other words, that I know that he will be deceived. He would be fooled. He would not do the judgment according to Quran, in other words. One of the companions was standing beside Imam Ali and he said, Ya Amir al-Mumin, when you know this guy is going to mislead and do his wrongful judgment, not according to the rules of Quran and tenets of Quran, then why are you sending him? Why don't you decide on your own with your own knowledge? He said that, لَوْ يَعْمَلُ اللَّهُ فِي عِبَادِهِ بِعِلْمِهِ مَحْتَجَّ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالرُّسُلِ. If Allah acted like what you are asking me to do, that I act among the people according to my knowledge, and you know, everything should be left over to me to, you know, decide by my knowledge and forget about the procedures decided by the Sharia and just take my ilmul ghaib to decide all the affairs, then why did Allah created the whole human beings, you know, and Allah is acting all what He is doing in our lifetime without using His divine absolute knowledge in our favor? Instead, He is giving us chances to behave well, although He knows who will behave well and who will not behave well. He knows in advance. But He still gave all the humanity a chance. You understand my point? This is the behavior of the Imams. They are the representatives of God. They are mazhar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A reflection, most perfect reflection of all the sifatul jalal wal jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they always behave the way Allah behaves. Their behavior is actually the behavior of Allah, the wish of Allah, the will of Allah. So what I was telling you about the fact that earth is the witness appointed and assigned by Allah over all the actions of humans and jinns. And we find Imam Ali alayhi salam, whenever he used to distribute the Baytul Mal money among the deserving people, after distributing, he used to pray two rakats of prayers then and there, and then say this statement addressing to earth, Ishhadi, be a witness, Anni mala'tuki bihaqqin wa farraghtuki bihaqqin. Be a witness that I filled you up with haqq, when the money of Baytul Mal, National Exchequer, you used to gather, I filled you up with haqq. No violation of any law of God. And I vacated you with haqq after distributing all the money that belongs to the deserving people. He used to address this statement every time to earth. Was the earth able to understand what Imam Ali is saying? Certainly. He would never do a lahu and lahab, you know, something useless and statement. He's all wise. So we should never consider the earth to be a dead creature of God. We find in the hadith that whenever the janaza of one of the ashqiya, one of the evil people, is brought to the graveyard, the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that each part of the graveyard, each piece of the land, different parts, you know, of the land, of that graveyard, shouts, speaks up, don't bury this guy into me. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, whenever the janaza of a shaqi person is brought to the graveyard, every part of the land of that graveyard speaks up, don't bury this guy into me. When he used to walk over me, I did not used to agree with him. And Imam says, when he is buried, if he is buried, the earth says, you are not welcome. I was muta'azzi, you know, I was in torture with your behavior. How you behaved on me, I was in torture. And I'm going to punish you, and of course it punishes. And then he says, when a janazah of a mu'min person is brought to the graveyard, each part of that soil of the graveyard announces, bury this guy into me, bury him here, bury him here, bury him here. Because as he used to walk over me, I was pleased with him. I was used to agree with him. And when he is buried, the earth welcomes the mu'min, says, you are welcome. And it extends, the grave extends ila maddil basar, up till the farthest your eyes could look. How far your eyes could look? So much extension happens in the grave of a mu'min. It's so wide and open and extended for him. So you think anybody has the right to think that earth is a dead creature of Allah, or we can do whatever we wish to do and it remains unnoticed? It talks about things which make so much sense. It's a perfect obedient existence of Allah. And in the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, a woman was buried. The earth threw her out. Her relatives buried again. The earth threw her out again. When it happened twice, they understood there is something wrong. They knew about it, what sort of woman she was, but they understood that this matter cannot be solved this way. So they came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and asked him, Yabna Rasulullah, Yabna Rasulullah, this is our relative, we tried to bury her twice, the earth doesn't accept her. It threw her out twice. There are a whole bunch of people in the community watching and waiting for her burial, and Imam said, what was done by this lady that the earth threw her out? What she used to do, in other words. And they told him that he was Ahlul Zina, used to commit Zina. It's wrong, brothers and sisters, to translate Zina into adultery, because that's one form of Zina. Even dating, Western style dating, is also Zina. Zina means any relationship without the Islamic marriage formula being recited according to its conditions. So it can be dating as well, which is not considered to be anything wrong in the Western society, but it is zina in the eyes of Islam. So I never translate zina as adultery, because that's only one aspect of zina. Zina has a wider meaning than adultery. So they told Imam Sadiq al-Islam that she used to do zina. And when the babies used to be born, she used to kill them and bury them alive. Imam said, how dare the earth could accept her after such a heinous crime? How could the earth accept her? In other words. But they said, Yabna Rasulullah, do something. There are people waiting. It's an insult of the whole family. It's a humiliation, big time. And Imam said to them, bury some turbat of Imam Hussein along with her janazah, and the earth is going to accept her. What is the position of Imam Hussein in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who can understand? Our scholars say in their fatwas, you're not supposed to put the turbat of Imam Hussein in your lower pocket. It's an insult. You have to put the turbat of Imam Hussein in your upper pocket. It's unlike any other soil. When Imam Rida alayhi salam used to send gifts to some of his friends, we find in the riwayat that he always used to send some turbat of Imam Hussein in the gift. That's the best gift, actually. We should That's the best gift we should cherish. Our list of ideals should be adjusted with the list of ideals of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. And let's get out, let's be above all this material madness. Let's get above that. We are humans, we are not beasts. The hadith tells us when the angels of Allah, some angels of Allah are going towards the earth, those angels who remain on the heaven demand from these angels who are traveling towards earth, bring us turbat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So, they did the same and the earth accepted her. So we understand, in the light of all that, there are so many other evidences, but the time is short, I have to mention certain other things as well. So we understand the earth is an assigned witness of Allah, what we call Mufattish Sirri. It's a secret inspector assigned by Allah over all the humans and jinns. You should never think if you are alone, we are unnoticed. This same earth over which we are standing is noticing us. The second witness, time, seconds, minutes, hours, days and nights, weeks, months, years, time. Every second and every moment of our life is a witness assigned by Allah over our action done in that moment. Allah is our creator. We can never outfox Allah. You should never think we can outsmart our creator. So we find in the tafsir of Imam Askari alayhi salam talking about the verse of Holy Quran, وَاسْتَشْهِدُوا شَهِدَيْنِ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ, talking about the fact that if Allah has commanded us, you know, in our transactions we need to seek two witnesses. So Allah, we find in the tafsir of Imam Askari alayhi salam, in the tafsir of this verse, it is said that you need to seek two witnesses over your transactions, the way Allah Himself has sought several witnesses over the actions of the people, and one of those several are day and night. Day and night. The time, which Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said that every day that dawns, that comes over us, every day that arrives, addresses the human beings, Yabna Adam, O the son of Adam, Ana Yawmun Jadid, I am a new day. Every day is a new creature of God. Don't compare it to the yesterday, and don't compare it to tomorrow. Imam Sadiq said, every day addresses the humankind. In other words, that Ana Yawmun Jadid, I am a new day. Wa ana alayka shaheed, and I am a witness on you. Faf'al bi khayran wa'mal fiyya khayran, so do good through me and do good in me. Because once I leave, lan tarani abada, you can never see me again. When the tomorrow arrives, it's a new creature of God with everything new, with the different hours and minutes and seconds and moments included in that. It's a new creature. So once you go through one creature, that much has already been recorded, gone in the books of God. So take benefit of me. And حَكَذَا يَقُولُ اللَّيْلِ إِذَا أَدْبَرَ النَّهَارِ, same statement is said by the night when the day passes. The night addresses the human with a similar statement that I am a new creature of God. So take benefit of me, you know, do good into me, because once I leave, you are never going to see me again. Tomorrow night is a new creature of God. All what we did on those moments and hours are recorded in that night, nothing to do with the next night. And we address the holy month of Ramadan when we read those du'as in the holy month. we address the month of Ramadan by saying that it's there in Mafatihul Jinan that you read in the month of Ramadan, one of those du'as, that be a witness that I did not violate your hurmat and respect. I did the fasting in you, so be a witness before Allah, I did not disrespect you. I took care of all the fasts in you. We address the month of Ramadan, it's time. So time is the second witness appointed by Allah. Every moment of our life is a witness that shall bear witness on the Day of Judgment. The third, angels. Angels appointed by Allah. We have been listening, you know, about Raqib and Atid. Inna alaykum la hafizeen kiraman katibeen. And in kullu nafsin, in lamma alayha hafiz. Every nafs has a hafiz. In that verse of Holy Quran, in the tafsir of that verse, the Holy Prophet has said that every moment has 160 angels appointed over him. We have been listening about two only. Prophet says 160 angels that defend him from baliyat, from the troubles and tests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And write down, and they are witness, and they be a witness over the actions done by him. 160 angels appointed by Allah over us. So the angels of Allah are a witness. And third of all, the parts of our body. After earth, and after time, and after the angels, the fourth of all the parts of our body, every single part of the body is a witness from God's behalf appointed on, you know, over us to be a witness. Our eyes, our ears, our hands and legs, stomach, nose, tongue, every part of the body is a witness over those of the actions that we do through that part. So never think that if I look towards a non-mahram with lust, the same eyeball is going to bear witness in the Day of Judgment when my mouth would be sealed. I cannot bring no excuses before God. Like Surah Yasin has said, الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ. Today we are going to seal عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ, on their mouths. You're going to seal their mouths, Surah Yasin. وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ, and their hands are going to speak to us. وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ, and their legs would bear witness. بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, about all what they used to do, all what they used to earn. That's Surah Yasin that we read. So all the parts of the body, eyes will be speaking, ears will be speaking, and when the mouths are sealed, no excuses. Human is so arrogant, they never confess, unless they are forced to. Except the pious people who are ready to confess and fear Allah and do, you know, crying and munajat when they are alone before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cry over their sins and seek forgiveness and confess before Allah. In Islam, we don't have confessions before the priest or before any other human. We don't believe in confessions before humans. In Sharia of Islam, it is haram to tell about your sins to any person, the way it's haram to tell about the sin of any other person to other person. That is called ghibat. You talk bad about somebody. Similarly, it's haram to talk about your own sin to any person. It's not allowed. We don't believe in confessions. We need to confess before our Creator. That is so much deeply appreciated. So, no excuses. The tongues are sealed. Parts of the body are speaking before Allah. That's the Yawmul Haq. No batil. All excuses are batil. No place, no space for any batil to exist on the Day of Judgment. That's a different world. I constantly repeat these sentences that different rules apply. Never compare this world with that world. It's a different set of world with separate set of rules. It's Yawmul Haq, no batil. And when the person, our parts of the body spoke, bore witness against him, and now the decision was announced, and the person is, let's suppose, and announced and decided to be sent towards the hell, the hadith tells us, now the tongue would be open, and then he would ask his parts of the body, why did you bear witness against me? When now we find that you will also be, the person is talking to his parts of body, you will also be burning along with me in the hellfire. Why did you bear witness against me? And they would say, أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. The same Allah made us speak that made all the things to speak. All the things which are speaking, Allah provided them the power of speech. The same God made us to speak. So we understand the fourth witness appointed by Allah, our parts of body. Everything is noticed. The fifth witness appointed by Allah, the usurped items. Ghasbi ashiya. Chini hui ghasbi khiyanat shuda. All the usurped items. Ma kana li nabiyyin an yaghulla. Quran says, wa man yaghlul ya'ti bima ghalla yawm al-qiyamah. Prophet is not ahli khiyanat. Prophet doesn't do khiyanat. And someone who does khiyanat, he will be brought along with the khiyanat, you know, khiyanat shuda thing along with him. The usurped item along with him. So our scholars say in the tafsir of this verse of Holy Quran, there are two statements of the scholars, two different statements. First statement says, the usurped item, whatever a person may have usurped, would be resurrected, would be brought on the Day of Judgment along with him, and it would be thrown into the hellfire, and it would be said to the person, go and grab it back from the hellfire, and then you are free to go to the paradise. Who has the power and courage to get close to the hellfire? Bring that usurped item. You usurp it from your fellow mu'mineen, fellow brothers. One sister, one brother got inheritance from his father, and he's not ready to distribute his entire inheritance according to the shares defined by God in the Sharia, in Quran. We're not ready to distribute the money. As soon as we get money, we forget God. So we usurp the share of the rest of the inheritors. We do not pay back to our creditors. We took loan from some mu'min, we are not ready to pay him back. So we usurped his money. Any form of usurping, any kind of usurping, even the Prophet says, if a person has usurped the camel of a person, on the Day of Judgment when he would be resurrected from the grave, he would find the camel riding his back. The same camel that he usurped from somebody is now riding over his back. You think you can run away with it? God is all powerful, all knowing, all wise. So, first statement of scholars in the tafsir of this verse of Holy Quran says, the usurped item would be resurrected along with the person, thrown into the hellfire. He would be told, okay, bring it back from the hellfire, and then you are free to go to the heaven. Nobody can bring it back, obvious. And even if, you know, somebody goes there, the item is already burnt. Second of all, the second statement in the tafsir, our scholars say, the usurped item would be hanging in his neck as he is raised from his grave. He usurped money, he usurped belongings, he usurped whatever from other people. It would be hanging in his neck when he gets raised from his grave. The person would shout when he sees his own situation. That's why the appearance of a person would tell it all. Appearance of every person would inform the rest of the people out there on the Day of Judgment what he has done back then in the life of dunya. No need to be announced what he has done. His appearance shows it all. The usurped items are hanging in his neck, which he needs to carry all the way to come to where he is supposed to come, along with all the people. It's hanging in his neck. So my teacher, Ayatollah Jawadi, Hafizahullah, was saying in his tafsir, there is no need for this question to be asked, what have you done? There is no place for this question, no need for this question. That would be useless. What would be asked instead? Why did you do it? What is already obvious from the appearance of every person, good or bad, the noor and the zulmat shows it all. The usurped items show it all. They are telling the story themselves. No need to for anybody to come up and ask, hey, what have you done? It's already obvious from his appearance what he has done. Surah Ar-Rahman has announced, فَيَوْمَ إِذٍ لَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذَنْبِهِ إِنْسٌ وَلَا جَانٌ. No human would be asked, or no jinn would be asked, عَنْ ذَنْبِهِ, what has he done, what crime, what sin he has done. No need to ask what is obvious. Why would be asked on the Day of Judgment? So this is the fifth evidence. And the sixth one is the animals, the birds, the insects, the fishes, all and every animal before whom a human commits a sin is a witness appointed by Allah, and that animal, the hadith says, will be resurrected along with that person on the Day of Judgment. It would be brought along, close to that person on the Day of Judgment, and that animal will bear witness over his actions. So the hadith says that if there's a sheep, a person committed some sin in front of a sheep, that sheep would be brought in front of that person, and when the sheep would be brought, it will bow down, prostrate, do the sajda in front of the angel, and that human, and the angel of Allah would say, it's not the time for doing sajda. And the animal would say, I am doing sajda to thank Allah that He did not make me a human, so that my destiny would be similar to the destiny of this guy. And the person against whom the animal is bearing witness would say, I wish I was made an animal instead of being made a human. So the animal would bear witness against the human, and then he would be converted to soil. And so we understand, the Holy Quran has announced about the animals, وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. That's the verse of Holy Quran. When the animals would be resurrected. وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. It's Quran. So we find all and every animal which may be present in front of our sins is a witness assigned by Allah to bear witness. And last of all, like I said, their witnesses are so much uncountable. I just mentioned some of those. Above all are all the shuhada of Islam. Because a shaheed is defined as somebody who is a witness over the actions. And above all the shuhada are, of course, the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, whom Quran has said, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. So, Prophet has been addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Shaheed. And he is the Shaheed. He is the head of all the shuhada. Our Holy Prophet is the head of all the shuhada, all the witnesses. And Ayatullah al-Uzma, Sayyid Hashim al-Bahrani, one of our very great scholars in our glorious Shiite history, from Bahrain, in his book Umdatun Nazar says, talking about this verse of Holy Quran that I recited, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Hashim Bahrani says in his book that Allah has appointed, assigned our 12 Imams, you know, each Imam being assigned on 12, you know, let's suppose all the humans ever were, you can say in these words, they were, if they are classified into 12 different classifications, each Imam assigned on 12. And our Holy Prophet is assigned over all the Imams to be a witness. Above all. He is a witness above everyone. And they shall bear witness. They are witness. Remember what the hadith of the Prophet has said, you know, that hadith of Imam Sadiq al-Islam has said that تُعْرَضُ أَعْمَالُ الْعِبَادِ أَبْرَارِهَا وَفُجَّارِهَا عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ كُلَّ صَبَاحٍ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. That all the actions of the people, good or bad, good people or bad people, all their actions are presented every morning before the Holy Prophet. So right now, our actions are being presented before Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And he is the witness over our actions. And some of our riwayat tell us that when Imam sees people doing good deeds, he prays for them. And when he sees the people doing bad deeds, he feels upset. We should try our best, brothers and sisters, not to upset our Imam. And one dua of the Masoom Imam can change our entire destiny. One nazar-e-lutf of our Imam can change our whole life for good forever. So let's attract one dua from Imam Mahdi al-Islam in our favor, and we would find our whole life would be changed. Our destiny is changed and made successful. But we need to do something to attract his attention. He has a million jobs to do. He is defending Islam. He is the defender of Islam. He has a million jobs to do. Why should he pay attention to me? Why? Am I eligible? Or am I demanding a favor which is unjust? He doesn't do injustice. He is just. Just like his great, great ancestors. If I need to attract his attention and his prayers in my favor, which he is ready to do, if I am eligible for that. If I am eligible for that favor. We need to make ourselves eligible so that our Imams look at us, pay attention to us, pray for us. And our whole destiny can be changed. It's not going to happen if we become ritualistic, you know, come to the majlis of Imam Hussain. Every Muharram and Safar throughout the year, we never show our faces. I met to a person, you know, some of the Shias in New York, and I was talking to them about the Ashura, and they said, well, Maulana, you know, and you know, in our society, there are some who just show up for 10 days, and then there are some who show up for the last 3 days, and then there are some who show up on Ashura only. And then there are some, like this guy whom I was talking to, this Shia, who said to me, then Maulana, you know that I'm a cab driver. I don't find, how can I find time to go to Ashura, you know? This is money. This is the love of money, brothers and sisters. And the beautiful, beautiful part of this, brothers and sisters, is that we don't even get that money that we are running after it. We get only as much as it is fixed by Allah. And that much is bound to reach you. Nobody can take away from you. That is just time to reach you. That's a pre-decided decision of Allah. At least let's not sell our values for getting something which is bound to reach us. And even if we wish to get more, no matter how much overtime hours do you work, you're not going to get a single penny more than what is destined by Allah. So let's focus on our duties towards Quran and Ahlul Bayt. I said to him, you don't find one day among 365 days of the year for Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam, for whose sake you are receiving all the blessings of Allah through Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and because of his sacrifice you are alive. The whole universe is there because of the sacrifice of Imam Hussein. And you are not ready to spare one day for Hussein ibn Ali. And then we claim to be Shias. Because the ritualistic majalis pattern cannot save you. You need to understand the mission and the hadaf of all the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Why did our 11 Imams give blood? You need to understand that. And do something for this beloved Islam. So that we can have a face to show to Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha tomorrow. We have a face to show to Imam Hussein alayhi salam tomorrow. That, well, I protected my son. What if Imam Hussein asks, well, do you think my Ali Akbar is inferior than your son? That you protected your son and Islam was being slaughtered, but you protected your own son, whereas I did not protect my son. I sacrificed him for the sake of Quran. Can we respond? Do we think my baby is superior than Ali Asghar? Do we think our ladies are superior than those great ladies of light? So we need to have some faith. We need to do something to attract their affection and to attract their dua. Because they are shahid and witness over our amal. They are seeing all what we are doing, good or bad, day in, day out. They are the commanders in chief of the universe appointed by Allah. They are seeing everything that is taking place. وَاللَّهِ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا إِلَّا وَقَدْ أَمَرَهُ بِالطَّاعَةِ لَنَا. Like Imam Hussein al-Islam said, I swear to Allah that Allah did not create nothing except that Allah has commanded that thing to be obedient to us. Everything of the universe is obedient to Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Everything of the universe is obedient, except the humans and jinns, who have been given with shahwat and aql, and they became arrogant. With one thing awarded to them, and they became arrogant out of the limits. If they were not out of the limits, they would never behave like this, what they did to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. What happened in Karbala is because of the hubbud dunya. Because of the love of this dunya. That's why we keep on doing Amr bil Maruf and Nahi al Munkar. So that the people stop trying to walk on that track which leads towards Jahannam. Because the end of that is the track where Yazid is standing and people like Yazid and Muawiyah are standing. And the beginning starts with this careless behavior of love of dunya. It's a gradual process. And that's what we find. How they did towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam. How they did towards his family members. How they did towards the heads of Shuhada. You know, even the head of Hazrat Ali Asghar was not spared. Look at the mazlumiyat. Even the head of Hazrat Ali Asghar was taken out, because that's the only janazah in Karbala that Imam Hussein alayhi salam buried himself. And he opened the grave, he dig up the grave with his sword and buried the janazah of Ali Asghar. And he's the only janazah that was given ghusl by Imam Hussein. Our scholars say, Imam gave the ghusl with the blood of Ali Asghar. He rubbed his hand over the body of Ali Asghar. So actually Ali Asghar was given the ghusl with his own blood by Imam Hussein. He rubbed his blood over his body. And some riwayat tell us that Imam rubbed the blood hand of Ali Asghar's blood over his face as well. That he's gonna meet the Holy Prophet tomorrow with the blood of this Mazloom, Ali Asghar, on his face.
But the enemies did not spare. They dig up the grave and took out the head and cut the head of Eliezer and raised on the Neza, on the spear. And now we find when this caravan is moving from Karbala to Kufa and towards Sham, a time arrived when Sahel says, I was traveling towards Baitul Muqaddas and I found that in the middle I crossed from Syria, I found that the town was being decorated. There were so much decorations and so much celebrations going on in the town. I inquired from some people, is it the day of Eid for you people? And they said, yeah, it is the day of Eid because Amir al-Mumineen Yazid has overcome one of his enemies who was a traitor, and today his family is being brought today in the town, in the palace of Amir al-Mumineen Yazid, la'natullahi alayhi. And Sahal says, as I was talking to this person, I found that there is a caravan coming towards the city. And it's a very strange situation. There are certain heads in the front, and then there is a very weak person walking behind, and then there are several ladies over the camels, or without the saddles, and they don't have hijab on their head. Several heads, and I found that in front of the caravan, there is a head which has noor coming out of its forehead. I could not recognize who they are. I came forward and asked from that weak person who is tied up in the chains, and he's bleeding all over. I came close to him and I asked him, can you please introduce yourself? And you know, Imam Sajjad, he raised his head and said to Sahel, Sahel, you could not recognize us. You don't recognize us. And Sahel says, I got so much embarrassed that this person even knows me, but I failed to recognize who he is. I said, please tell me who you are. And Imam Sajjad, you know, introduced himself. An abdu Makkah wa Mina. An abdu Zamzama wa Safa. I am the son of Makkah and Mina. I am the son of Zamzam and Safa. An abdu Muhammad and al-Mustafa. An abdu Ali and al-Murtawa. An abdu Fatima and Zahra. I am the son of the Prophet and Imam Ali and Hazrat Fatima. Sahel was so much shocked to find his imam in this situation. He said, what, how come this all happened? How come he started crying before the imam? Mawla, is there anything I can help you with? Please tell me, let me know. Imam asked him to please bring some piece of cloth. And Sahel says, I immediately took off my ammama and folded it and presented it towards Imam Sajjad. And Imam said, Sahel, whom are you giving this ammama? This cloth, somebody whose hand is tied behind his neck. How can I grab this piece of cloth when my hands are tied behind the neck? You know, Sahel said, okay, let me know what I'm supposed to do with this. And we find that Imam said, okay, just raise the talk in my neck and put the mama under that. And Sahel says, as I raise the talk on the neck of Imam Sajjad, I found his whole back is full of blood. It's all blood all over the back of Imam Sajjad.
Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. Nasayya'lam al-lazina zalamu ayyaman qalabiyan khalibun. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين، لا سيما قائد المسلمين الولي الفقيه. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان، واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite this ayat al-kareema 5 times for the shifa of this mu'mina. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا